to flip physicality, to elevate the physical, to also be spiritual, not just to be a spiritual in a spiritual place, but even when you go outside of the Beis Midrash, you're amongst the Gentiles, you're amongst other people, you're at the workplace.
Wherever you get your podcasts from, or our own website, prismoftorah.org. This is The Prism of Torah with Rabbi Asaf Aaron Prizman.
Shalom uvorcha. In this week's Parsha, Parsha's Truma, we know the Parsha starts off saying, Vayikhu li Truma, and they shall take for me, we're talking about Bnei Israel, of course, Truma, a gift for the Mishkan, to build the Mishkan. Rashi on the spot says, Li Lishmi, it should be given Lishma, with the pure intention only to give it for the mitzvah of the Mishkan. You shouldn't have any other thoughts such as, oh, everyone will look at me, look, I'm getting honor because I gave a gift to the Mishkan. No, rather have pure Lishma. The first question we want to raise is, and Mefarshim raised this question, I don't understand, every other mitzvah, it does have importance even if it's not purely Lishma. So why is Rashi singling out this mitzvah of volunteering all kinds of things like gold and silver to the Mishkan? Why does this have to be Lishma? What's unique about this mitzvah? And the obvious answer, I think, is because this is not just a regular mitzvah. This is a mitzvah that we're creating a home for the divine presence, for the Shekhinah. And that has to be done with 100% purity. And the practical takeaway from this idea is huge. And that is, any mitzvah we do, if we want the Shekhinah to dwell upon us with that Maise mitzvah, then we should act in a way that we do everything, which is not easy, and there's levels to this, of course, with 100% Lishma. How much more so is this true when we start off a kid's life, that we want everything, the infrastructure, to be pure? That will have a huge effect, especially now that we see that if we do things Lishma, we bring up the child Lishma, the beginning to start off on the right foot, to do things Lishma will have a huge positive impact on the child, because the Shekhinah will be with him. And that is a bala mechanech, someone that's into chinuch and educating a kid. It's so important, especially at the beginning, that everything is done Lishma. We know the famous story with Rabbi Chiya, in the Gemara, that Rabbi Chiya reinstituted all the Torah that was forgotten. And in order to do that, to write Sifrei Torah for the kids to learn from, he ensured that he does everything, because he wanted everything to be done with 100% Lishma. Even to create the fishing nets with which he would catch from the water anything he needs in order to write the Sefer Torah, every little thing, the strings he created on his own, because he wanted to ensure that everything would be done Lishma, and it has a huge effect, as we see from this Rashi in our Parsha. It's brought down in Darki Musa, a story in the times of the Gaon Mivilna, that there was a big tzaddik that was on such a high level that he fasted the whole week. Mistama, he did it for Klal Yisrael, to repent for the sins. So he fasted from Shabbos to Shabbos. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast. And then on Friday, he walked to go to the mikveh. And just before he went into the mikveh, he sat on the stone because he was so weak. And a lot of the children of the neighborhood sat around him. And the Gaon Mivilna heard about this, and he said, I'm asking all the children not to do this anymore. And since then, this big tzaddik, this older person, was not able to do that anymore. He wasn't able to fast the whole week. You see from here, the Bali Musa say that even though, of course, this tzaddik was on such an extreme high level of Kedusha, but still, you could see, obviously, there was a little bit, an inkling of kavod that he helped him motivate himself to do that. A little tiny bit. And the Gaon Mivilna, I assume, didn't want that tiny bit to be there. He preferred to have a tzaddik that's purely Shema, because it has a bigger effect, even if he'll be able to fast less days. And the Ritva says this, my Yadid, Rav Daniel Stolbach, showed it to me, it's a Ritva. We know that in Hilchos Brachos, when you decide what to make a bracha on first, let's say you have two loaves of bread. One is full, complete, and one is not complete. Then you should say the bracha on complete first. Also, when you have a small piece and a big piece, so how do you decide which one to do a bracha on? You do a bracha on the bigger piece, because it's more important, more chashuv. It's more matim to say a bracha, a blessing on the big piece. What if one's bigger, but it's half a loaf of bread, and the other one's smaller, but it's a full loaf of bread? It's more important, the full loaf of bread, because you have something complete. When you have complete Lishma, also by us, that's more important. Even though he's fasting less, he's doing less. At the end of the day, we see the importance of the intention. This also reminds us, of the famous story in the Gemara. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi, it's brought down in Tosfos and Chagiga Daf Tes Vav, about Acher. Acher was born to Avuya, who was one of the important people, the Chashuv people in Yerushalayim. And when his son was born, he wanted to do a bris milah. He called all the Talmidei Chachamim to come, all the big people, and Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, he sat them in a different place. They were learning Torah together, and that caused the fire to come down from the sky, from the Shamayim around them. And then the father said, wow, if this is what Torah can do, I want my son to grow to be a Talmid Chacham like that. And obviously, these are the wrong intentions for you to want to have your son to be a Talmid Chacham. And the rest of the story was not so good because he went totally off the derech. And they say it's very related to the beginning of his life, of how it started. It wasn't even close to Lishma. It was mamish, not Lishma. So we see the importance of Lishma, especially at the beginning of a person's lifetime. I want to continue to another question on the fact that Mishkan was created from these very expensive jewels and gems, gold, silver, copper. The question that we can also ask is, why is it that Hashem needs to create, to build the Mishkan, the place which will be the kli for the Shechina to dwell? You would think it should be made of a spiritual material, not on physical material. And even if it's created from physical material, one would think gashmis is not what it's about, materialism. So don't take something that represents the shpitz, something so important in gashmis like gold and silver. Why? Take simple wood and that's it. Why do we need it to be made of gold and silver? You would think that's not what's important in life. And that question is also being asked. And there's several answers for that, but I want to raise the following answer. And I saw this in the Darkei Musa, Rav Neumann Zatzal, and he says, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need you to create the Mishkan from gold and silver. That doesn't mean much to him. So why is he commanding us to choose dafka, things like gold and silver, and for that, from out of those to build the Mishkan and the Kalim of the Mishkan? And the answer is, when you give something that's important to you, and you voluntarily, which is what this parsha says, kol ish asher idvenu libo, voluntarily they decided what to give, that means together with that comes your love to Hashem. And when you're and that is what Hashem yearns for, to have the kli for the Shechina created from the love of Bnei Yisrael klapei our avoidah to Hashem and klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is what was important. And that's why it was imperative that it will be created from these things, and as well that we get to choose and we have the degree of flexibility to choose. We want to bring it out of gold or someone else wants from silver. Because once you choose, we spoke about this topic at length, but when in Chinuch, it's a huge nafkamina, a practical takeaway, that when you give your child the degree of flexibility to choose how to do something good, he'll connect to that and he'll love it. And that's what Hashem wants us to have, love towards building the Mishkan. We'll get to choose. And that is how you build a place to be a container, a kli, a vessel, to have in it the divine presence, the Shechina. How imperative it is to do it out of love. That also is a huge point of practical takeaway for us, that when we create a home, we want it to be created out of love. When you have love, the Shechina also dwells there. And that's how Hashem wants his kli, the kli that the Shechina will dwell, to be created in such a way. And there's no other way of giving love unless you give it to build the Mishkan, because it's not tangible. So when you give something important like Zahav and Kesef and Nechoshet, that is what it represents. Ad kedei kach, that Zahav, gold, represents the shpitz of the idea, and it's hinted in the word, because Zahav is Zehav, this give. Gold was created in a way to give to someone over. You show how much you love them. You give them a gold ring, etc., etc. But I want to end off with another mahalach to answer the question we raised, and that is the following. The reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu perhaps also wanted the Mishkan Dafka to be created of gold and silver, copper, all these things that represents materialism, something that in the eyes of humans is worth a lot, is perhaps because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hint us and to teach us a lesson. It's not good enough just to be spiritual when you're in a place of spirituality, such as a Beis Knesses, or a Beis Midrash, or you're amongst holy people. But the name of the game is to be able to take those koichos, to be mezakech the goof, to be on such a high level that you realize the neshama is what it's all about. And with that, you sanctify also your body, your goof, and your goof is mishubad to the nefesh, to your neshama, and not the opposite, chas v'shalom. That also when you leave the Mishkan, you leave the Beis Midrash, you go everywhere, then also to there you realize that spirituality is what it's all about. And that is hinted by the fact that dafka gold, yes, gold, which represents gashmis, the Mishkan should be built on that, to be a constant reminder to us that the whole idea is to flip physicality, to elevate the physical, to also be spiritual, not just to be a spiritual in a spiritual place. But even when you go outside of the Beis Midrash, you're amongst the Gentiles, you're amongst other people, you're at the workplace, You're in your house in different rooms. Every room you can elevate them. You go to the kitchen, you say a bracha like Hashem commands us. Through the Torah, we know what we need to do to sanctify things. That is a game changer. In the bedroom, there's Taras HaMishpacha. There's laws that we abide. And by doing the laws that the Torah teaches us, which is Sam Chaim, we elevate all the physical surroundings. And we're able to take our house and make it a place that the Shekhinah will dwell, as the Gemara tells us, when a man and his wife, when they act in such a way and live life in such a way, that creates the perfect place for the Shekhinah to dwell, and we have the ability to flip everything over and elevate it, be it the kitchen, be it the dining room table. Like we know, Chazal tells us, it's a mizbeach. If you use it right and you elevate it and you make brachas on what you eat and you say divrei Torah, you elevate it, it becomes like a mizbeach. And we sacrifice to Hashem. Yiratzon, that will take all these ideas that we mentioned, which with the last Malach we answered all the questions. We answered why is it so important to do Lishma, Davka in this mitzvah, because this is a place for the Shekhinah to dwell. We also answered the question, why does it have to be made of gold and silver, such important things? We have several answers for that. Number one, the last Malach we said is to elevate the physical. It's to remind us to continuously elevate the physical no matter where we're at. We can be over the Hashem all the time in a spiritual fashion. Don't deny yourself the physicality, but take it and elevate it. That is the name of the game. Also, by giving something that's nechshav, it's so important in our eyes, then we're giving our love over and to have the Shekhinah. That's what Hashem wants, the Shekhinah to dwell when there's love, a connection between us, the other Jews, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yehi Ratzon will take these ideas that each one is a basic infrastructure and foundation to live a pure life, a life that the Shekhinah will dwell with us, which will obviously yield incredible results in this world and the world to come. And if we work on ourselves to be on that level, we'll be zoiche to merit Bias HaMashiach b'mira v'yameinu, amen v'amen.
This concludes another episode of the Prism of Torah. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed it and learned something valuable. If you did, please subscribe to the podcast and give a 5-star rating. You can also find this podcast wherever you get your podcasts or our own website, prismofterror.com, where we have a full archive of all our past episodes. We would like to thank Yonah Vefa for the recording equipment and Ellie Podcast Productions for handling all our post-podcast productions. Join us next week for another enlightening conversation on the Prism of Torah.